Hello everyone, a very warm welcome back to Key Talks, the quest for the adventure of learning and knowing through stories. Most of the time, you might have seen and experienced by yourself too that the situation which or the circumstances or anything which is happening to you at that moment, you are looking at that moment with some different lenses. And perceiving it in some another way. And after some time, you realize that, oh, if I would have done this in this way, then this would have been a different result. So the point there is that the perception of our perception towards the things, towards the circumstances, towards the situations is really important. And today we are going to dive more into this topic of perception, which is basically is related to our emotions, our feelings. And to dive more into this topic, we are having today here Kim with us. She is the author of Yucky Yummy Savory Sweet. She believes that before you start with why, ask yourself how. Kim applies her discoveries to strategic coaching and consulting for individuals, teams, and families. You're most welcome to Key Talks, Kim.
Well, thank you. And I would like to clarify that the full title of the book is Yucky, Yummy, Savory, Sweet, Understanding the Flavors of Emotions. Because mm-hmm. that's the key part, that second title.
Definitely, yeah. And I am really sorry that I missed that. But
no worries.
I am really excited to dive more into that because the title itself is so yummy. Because I particularly like sweets a lot. And this topic of perception, which is close to the psychology and talking about the subconscious and close to indirectly in a way to the neuroscience too. And I like those kind of topics, and I like myself to learn more about those things. But before we dive more into that part, let's start with what's your unique story has been until now, Kim.
I have a very varied background. Like professionally, I've done a lot of different things, but I think what has driven me to this point of authoring a book like the one I just mentioned was a search for myself, right? Trying to help myself emotionally, which is why a lot of people end up doing what they do. I've went through a lot in my life, some emotional earthquakes. I live in California, so earthquakes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think today is the anniversary of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, so it's kind of appropriate. But the thing was, is that it got to a point of these multiple quakes. And then I had a big one, which was a divorce. And I literally laid on the floor of my condo preparing to take what few items were left because my ex-husband had taken most of the stuff and moved it into the house of our friend and his now lover. Well, it had been his lover. But the point is that it was a tough time. And as I laid on the floor from when it was light till dark, when I got up, I'm like, I got to figure out how to keep this from happening to me again. And this is, I think you alluded to this, like things happen in life. It's yeah. not how we, you know, what we do with it. It's how we move through it. It's like, do we do something with it? And I knew I had to because I couldn't go through this again. And that is what took me on my journey. And I tried, looked into lots of different things. And then I came upon this book called How Emotions Are Made, The Secret Life of the Brain. And this
Let me stop here, Kim, because I have some questions here. So sorry for the interruption.
Okay. Stop. And... No. I was just finishing up the... Yes, go.
From that story which you told right now, that the divorce with your husband, so that was something which was the tipping point, right? Of the quakes in your life. And then do you remember roughly like before this tipping point, you were facing many different kind of experiences too, right? Like which were small quakes kind of. And How was that feeling, and what helped you in those moments to go through them in a way that you didn't focus on them so much? And at that moment, was it related to just passing by those situations, or was it related to hoping for the best? So what was your mindset at that in those times?
I've always been trying to be an optimist, but I think that it was really just like trying to make it day to day, and trying to, make the best of my life that I could. But one of my coping skills was like ignoring feelings and being willfully blind to situations. Like, it took me many, 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 many years to admit that my mother was an alcoholic. In fact, it for me to truly admit it happened when she went into rehab. And then that was when I realized like all these things that happened in my life that was related to it. My coping skills up until then were ignore, or it's not really true, and just try and push forward. That's, I mean, I knew my husband was having an affair. I knew it, but I could not face it, and I could not come to terms with it. And so I pushed it aside.
And this is usual, right? Like, we all go through these kind of situations in our life. If somebody says they don't go through them, these kind of situations, I think that's a lie. Because even at a smaller level, we try to cope up with the situations. We try to sacrifice the things, right? Like, we try to amend ourselves according to them. And that is where it comes to what I personally think comes to standing up for ourselves. And there it comes, like, understanding and the reason of perception, or the importance of perception there. But maybe we will come to that a bit after, later on. Let's continue with yours. So please carry on with this book, which you were mentioning.
Yes. Thank you for that questioning. I did want to say, though, is that I learned to ignore things from my parents. And that was their coping mechanism. So my behavior, I believe, was a learned behavior. So that's why it's important to me to unlearn it, and for others to unlearn it, because of the effects in my life of having this ignoring feelings and ignoring situations just to make it through them. But back to the book that I read that really changed my life, it's called How Emotions Are Made, The Secret Life of the Brain. And up until then, I didn't know the information that was in this book about how our perceptions are truly like ingredients. And our brain has what I refer to as these recipes. These are our memories, our what we've learned, our experiences. They're all the same. It's no different. It's just wiring in the brain. And it uses these memories to launch our emotions. And it uses it for our thoughts and for our actions. These are all coming from these recipes. And what triggers which recipe to use is this incoming perceptive data from outside world and our inside world. And so as it comes in, your brain is just making its best guess. It's like a scientist with all this data, like, well, what's my best hypothesis, or what would I do with this data? And so it looks into this wiring. It looks into our brain, and I'm not going to go into major detail on this, but the point is that it's making a guess all the time, and it's called a prediction. And so we are constantly predicting everything: our emotions, our thoughts, what we see, what we hear. All of this sensory information is a prediction of a brain that we deem as reality. right?
Hmm.
So
and how
when I'm looking
how
at you,
difficult was it was for you? So when you went through this book, and it happens, I think I have personally realized it. I am 30 years old now, and I have realized personally that changing the habits, because these are basically the habits, right? Like coping mechanism or our day-to-day life. And we read the things, we know how it should be, but for that, in order to follow them, we need to change our habits. We need to change our actions. So how it was for you, how difficult it was for you at that moment to change those habits, those daily small actions which you are taking in order to align with what you have learned from this book?
Say that it was terribly hard. I think the hardest part was understanding all these scientific concepts. When my ex-husband was in chiropractic school, I would study with him. So I knew, I was familiar with terms and stuff, but I think that was the more difficult piece, was understanding the concepts. My background is in implementing systems. And so I saw a process here. I could see a framework that was a repeatable process. So that's like, okay, here's a repeatable process. If I know the process, then I can be more aware. Like, so for instance, I know that the brain has prediction error. We were just talking about prediction. So I'm aware of this now. So this gives me, I talk about this as being humility, or just that ability for me to be wrong in my perceptions and what I'm getting, because I know that not only do my perceptions are used to create my emotions, but my emotions are used to create my memories using those from those perceptions, if that makes sense to you.
Mm.
So it's like it's this constant cycle that your emotions are in all the time. So we use our memories that were created, usually, you know, when we remember something, we may not remember all the details, but we know how we felt, even if we didn't know all the memories. So it's like memories are, our emotions are coming and going. They're part of the creation and they're part of the recreation. So our memories are constructed anew every time. Like, it's not like a reel that plays in our head. So I guess my point is that understanding that just gave me insight and allowed me to pivot more, to understand myself more, and to have a lot more self-awareness. So I didn't look at it as like a huge task. I looked at it as like, ooh, this is an adventure into me.
And that's the perception part, right? Like, that's the thing, that how we are looking towards the situation, because definitely those kind of like breakups, divorce, losing of the job, and these kind of the situations in our life are the tipping moment of these small habits or these small coping mechanism which we have, which we are going through. And the important part there is like how we are perceiving the situation. So now let's put some light more on the how our perceptions towards something make our emotions, and these emotions later on govern how we are feeling deep towards something. Does this make sense?
Feeling anyway. So let's just talk about what emotions are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a communication, right? So it's a way for us to know how to take an action, to stay alive, to lean in to what feels good, and to move away from things that we perceive as not good for us. So in emotion, we have two different kinds. We have the kind that help to keep us alive physically, mm-hmm. homeostatic ones. So an emotion is when we feel our stomach aching because we need to eat, or you know, our heartbeat because we need to slow down. So that's a form of communication. And so affective emotions are the ones that we feel in our body that tell us lean into something or move away, and or kind of feel neutral about it, right? Just like with food, there's bell peppers that are not bell peppers, but peppers that are super spicy and some that are really mild. So we experience emotions in that same kind of a spectrum. So when we talk about, you know, emotions, we're really talking about a recreation of a memory. Mm-hmm. And so that it's just like a chef creating a dish that they've always created in the past. Like all the ingredients like might not be exactly the same, but they're very, very similar. The salt isn't from the same producer or whatever. And so that's really what we're doing is recreating a memory or an experience that might not be entirely related to what's going on, but it's the closest match that we have that is related to the current situation. So, so if that memory was deep, we're going to feel deep today.
Yeah.
But one other thing I just wanted to comment on, if I could, was how powerful, you know, our memories are, right? If I had not like tried to frame the situation like that I was in differently, it might have impacted me from going forward into another relationship. So I could have said, all men cheat, you know, I'd not trust another man again. My friend's mother spent 30 years alone before she died because she was still living in the pain from her husband cheating on her and leaving her for another woman that he married and was with for the rest, I think still to this day. But I chose to not let that memory impact me from moving forward in relationships. And that's the difference of awareness of emotions that are very real and raw, but you don't let you pick out what it was that created that situation so you don't recreate it again. Does that make sense?
Definitely, because at the end it's up to us, right? Like like what decision to take. And usually I say that nothing is good or bad, but thinking make it so. So how we are perceiving that thing, how we are taking that situation, what kind of decisions we are making led to the next things and led to the next, it's totally on us. It's totally on us. Yeah.
Yeah. And how wide we cast that basket, right? Like, or that blanket. So for instance, having more detail in our responses or our feelings. So for instance, like I was just talking about, instead of just saying all men cheat, because I had one who cheated, looking back at the circumstances as to how I got into that relationship, why I picked him as a spouse, what was going on at the time, so that I can keep myself from making that relationship mistake again. And maybe I made a few more mistakes, but it's not casting that wide net and saying everything, you know, all men. It's being able to make that distinction and find that detail, which makes a huge difference in our future emotions, and also allows us to pivot and to identify situations that aren't good that much better. You know what I'm saying? So it's learning and being able to take these perceptive ingredients with more detail.
Definitely. And I mean, these kind of topics are like really close to my heart, and there are so much we can discuss and talk about that. We are coming close to towards the end of the episode for today's time because of the time constant here. So here we have a tradition of asking three outro questions to the guest. And the very first one is to keep it short and crispy. What inspires you the most?
I think just life itself. I am constantly fascinated by how we live and move through the world. And I think that the human and just existence in itself is just fascinating.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's really beautiful, because how, yeah, that shows like how much you are also putting your effort into the work which you're doing. Because if the life inspires you the most, then yeah, the whatever you are doing and the coaching and the learnings, and yeah, that's awesome. Going to the next question. Sorry for elongation. Going to the next question. What are you most grateful for in your life?
Curiosity. And I think that curiosity it is the tool for growth and for self-awareness.
Definitely.
And I'm a very curious person.
I love that. I love that. I am on the same page too. I am on the same page.
I can tell.
Going to the last question here, which is the single best piece of advice you have ever received in your life until now?
Oh man, you know, this is still
it's
hard.
A tough one, yeah.
But I think that I'm gonna go with the quote that we talked about in the beginning, is that we are not thinking beings, we're feeling beings. So if when we understand the importance of feelings, it was a quote from Antonio Damasio, who said basically that Descartes got it wrong. We are not I think therefore I am, I feel therefore I am. And so by going through the world, understanding the importance of feelings and learning how to not be afraid of them, it is really what I get from that.
Wow.
I'm sorry,
wow.
I can't come up with anything better.
That's really important and nice one, because most of the time we forget about it, that we are a human being too. Most of the time we put so much focus on the logics, but yeah. Great. With this, we are coming towards the signing off part for today's episode. Thanks a lot, Kim, to be here. And I am really grateful to have this chat with you. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And I am super privileged to be a guest on your podcast. Thank you so much.
And thanks a lot, everybody out there, for listening to this episode. You can find all the handles to reach out to Kim below in the description of this episode. So until next time, stay healthy, stay happy. And most important, stay amazing. Ciao, tschüss, and goodbye.